Beatitudes. We'll read the first 12 verses. Matthew 5, verse 1 says, "And seeing the multitudes, he," that is Jesus, "went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Let's pray. Father, we ask for your blessings, O God, that you would speak to us in verse 8 of Matthew 5. Lord, we pray for a visitation of thy Spirit, and Father, that you would teach us, Father, speak to our souls, we ask you, Father. May we open our ears. Father, may we clear them of any worldly thoughts. And may we attend upon thee without distraction. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Blessed are the pure in heart. The pure in heart. In this time, in the first century, so much of the religion of the first century in Israel was surface and outward religion. Here in the sixth beatitude, it's number six, Christ goes directly to the heart of his hearers. He taught the people in Matthew 15 this. He said, "This people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips. Hence their religion was outward." But he goes on to say, "But their heart is far from me." And here the Beatitude says, "Blessed are the pure in heart." But here Jesus says, these people who have an outward religion, he says their heart is far from me. If we would see God, then God must drill down into our hearts for us. God needs to do that work. Christ did just that in this beatitude. Blessed, oh, how truly blessed are the pure in heart. There are a lot of people who might put on a happy face, you know. You ever do that? I've done that. I don't hide my sadness and my grief very well. But some people are very good at putting on a happy face when really their hearts are depressed and they are full of sadness because of their circumstances. But brethren, earthly circumstances cannot take away the blessedness and the happy state of the child of God. And so, brethren, that's what we need to be fixed upon. And so, blessed are the pure, happy are the pure in heart. Pure meaning cleansed, clean, that is spiritually and morally pure and undefiled is the sense here. You know, Hebrews 4:12, I kept thinking of that today. For the word of God, and the word of God is of necessity if we would have pure hearts. The word of God, Hebrews 4:12, is quick, not fast, but life-giving. It is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. That's what we need. I need that sharp sword to pierce my heart if I would be pure in heart. It pierces even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And the word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. You know what an intent is? I intend to do this. Well, the word of God drills down. God's word, when the Spirit of God takes it, the word of God is able to discern. If that's why we need to receive it and listen to it honestly with sincere hearts and listen to what it says and be honest with ourselves and allow God's word to cut. See, we can resist, but the word of God cuts down. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. So pure meaning cleanse, clean, spiritually, morally pure. The word pure is often used of metals that have been refined in the fire to remove all of their impurities. The more you burn gold, the more pure it becomes. Psalm 12:6, just listen, says this. The words of the Lord are pure words. As or like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified not just one time, not two times, but seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. So the words of the Lord are pure words. If we would have pure hearts, we need pure words. We need the pure word of God. If our hearts would be purified, it will only happen by the Spirit of God coupled with and through the instrumentality of the word used on our hearts. We need to access the word. We need to allow it to access us. It must be applied, that is the word. It must be believed by faith in the heart. We must have the word of God. The Pharisees of Jesus' day and many today major on outward religion rather than on the heart. You know, and people may not say that, but their actions speak louder than words. When they just do their religious duties, but what they do has no effect upon their lives. Matthew 23, there were very religious leaders of Jesus' day. Of course, we know them as the scribes and Pharisees. In Matthew 23, the Lord speaks of this outward religion, which really transforms someone into a hypocrite. And that's what Jesus told the Pharisees here in Matthew 23:25. He says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you may clean the outside of the cup and of the platter." So you may clean the outside, but within they are full of extortion and excess. See, the inside is what Jesus was drilling down to in this beatitude. He said, "Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also." See, when outward cleanness comes from inward sanctification, the outward cleanness is real. It's not hypocrisy. When the outward cleanness is, when the cause of the outward cleanness is from inner sanctification, inner cleansing. And that's what we want. Because listen, if you have to pretend to be clean on the outside, you can only pretend that for so long. Sooner or later, the inside comes out. Verse 27, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so you also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity," means lawlessness there. So understand that purity of heart implies that there has been a major change in the heart. If we would be pure in heart, there has been a major change, or may I say a major operation. None of us are born with pure hearts. All of us come forth from the womb with wicked hearts. But when God changes our hearts, he gives us a heart that is new and not dirty and filthy, but clean. Look at Ezekiel 36 and verse 25. The prophet Ezekiel, you know this passage. And there are so many. We'll just read two out of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36. The prophet Ezekiel. 36 and verse 25. The prophet here says, "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. From all of your filthiness and from all of your idols will I cleanse you." Verse 26, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away or remove the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And ye shall be my, keep my judgments and do them." Our hearts should be, "Lord, cause me from that new heart to walk in thy statutes." Look at 1 Peter. We'll actually go to 1 Peter 1:18 in the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. Listen, if there's anything that I want you to get in the beginning part here, when we say blessed are the pure in heart, the word is essential. What did Jesus say in Matthew 17:17? I think it is. He said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Sanctify, cleanse them. And we should be continually being cleansed by the word. You ever get a bunch of like dish soap and a sponge? And then you ever try and wash all the dish soap out of a sponge? You take the water and you keep squeezing it and squeezing it. Can you ever get all the soap out of a sponge? I mean, it's, I guess maybe you can, but you keep squeezing, 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 squeezing. Ephesians 5:25 says, "Husbands, love your wives." And of course, he's talking about the marriage compact, but he likens it to the church. "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it," the church, "and cleanse it," how? "By the washing of water with the word." See, we're given pure hearts, new hearts, when God saves us, and now we need to continually cleanse ourselves, 2 Corinthians 7, from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. But 1 Peter 1:18, he says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ were you redeemed, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." Verse 22. "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." Being born again. Listen, if we're going to have pure hearts, verse 23 is essential. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, pure, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. What does James say? He says, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." That's James 4, 7 and 8. James 4, 8. Now, 1 John, I want to read you this, and then we'll move on to "They shall see God" here in a moment. 1 John, I love this passage because he talks about us now being children of God, sons and daughters of God. He says, verse 1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." 1 John 3:2. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man or woman that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Whosoever, that word committeth there, whosoever makes a practice of sin, that's what it means. Whosoever committeth sin or makes a practice of sin, he transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Verse 6, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. In other words, whosoever abideth in him does not keep on sinning habitually. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Means whosoever just sins habitually and negligently and carelessly, he hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness, or he that practices righteousness, is righteous even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, he that practiceth sin. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit or practice sin. It's not our practice. It's not our habit. Yes, we sin, but we don't do it as a way of life. It's not our habitual practice. It convicts us. It saddens us. It grieves us. Why? How? For his seed, that is the seed of Christ, remaineth in us, in him. For he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. And so, remember that. Listen, if you're in Christ, your heart has been cleansed and purified from its filthiness and from your sin. And as we read in Ezekiel, God gave you a new heart and a new spirit. That new heart does not like to sin. It abhors sin. Though we fall into sin and we are grieved when we sin. 1 John says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us for our sins. We see the sins of the saints in the scriptures and we see their grief for their sin. But understand, positionally, 1 Corinthians 6:9, you have been cleansed from your sins. God doesn't cleanse us from our sins for us to go live in our sins. He doesn't save us from our sins for us to go out and live in our sins. 1 Corinthians 6:9, he says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Those are sins of unrestrained lust. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But now what are you? You're washed. You're sanctified. You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So in Christ, brethren, you're washed, sanctified, and justified. In fact, when Paul wrote the Corinthian letter, he addressed it unto the church of God, 1 Corinthians 1:2, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, more specifically, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Sanctified, cleansed, made holy, called to be saints. With all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. So, brethren, blessed are the pure in heart. If you're in Christ, you most certainly ought to be pure in heart. Now, the pure in heart shall see God. That's where we'll finish. They shall see God. How? Physically? No, not physically. The Bible says God is a spirit. You can't see God. Those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In fact, in Deuteronomy, just listen, it says, the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude. Only you heard a voice. Deuteronomy 4:12. You didn't see any shapes. He was teaching them, don't build anything that is in the likeness of any shape, because you saw no shape. Verse 15, take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for you saw no similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest you corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image. The similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female. And so there is no shape that you saw. So they shall see God not with our physical eyes. So understand here that the Lord is speaking of spiritual sight, which comes from purity and cleanness of heart. I want to see God. Spiritual purity is of necessity. It's a necessary condition of the heart for any who would see, or as it means, perceive God. Sin and uncleanness, brethren, separate us from God and put us at a great distance from Him. Isaiah 59:2, just listen, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. So sin separates us from God, and your sins have hid His face, i.e. His presence, from you, that He will not hear. How will we see God? We will perceive Him. We will grasp the truths of His Word. We will grasp His presence through the truths of His Word. We will be aware of His presence through His Word in the church meeting when God speaks to us, brethren. What did He tell Nicodemus? Except a man be born again, except you be born again, you cannot see. It means you cannot discern. You cannot perceive. You cannot be aware of God except you be born again. Do you want to see God? I want to see God. How will I see God? John 14:21 says, Jesus said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me, Jesus said, shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. That is seeing God. To manifest means to uncover, to expose. Jesus said, if you have my commandments and you keep them, you love me, and my Father, God the Father, will manifest himself through me to you. You shall see God. Edward Payne, and I'll close with this quote, Edward Payne said, there be dull souls who cannot see and who cannot hear God. Actually, they cannot see God. They cannot hear God. Are they sick? He says, yes. But what is that sickness? He says, sin is that sickness, which is the leprosy of the soul. But the pure in heart can, in fact, see God in every sorrow, in every chastening that comes from their Heavenly Father, and in every injury or sickness of the body. Yes, the pure in heart can see God's hand and His presence. They perceive it. They are aware of God's comforting presence. The pure in heart see God's face in every blessing. They see God's smile in every sunrise, in every sunset. I added, in every rain shower, in every thunderstorm, in every clap of thunder, in every lightning bolt. They hear God's voice, the pure in heart do, in every sermon and in every reading of the Holy Scripture. They see God. For they, and this is good, I love this, they by pureness of heart are attuned to Him. They are tuned in. Are you attuned to God?
if you would be, the prerequisite is that you must be the blessed that are pure in heart. When you are that, you shall see God. The highest blessedness to which the soul is capable is to see God. It's the greatest blessedness, both in this life and in the next. Remember, God is the source of all blessedness. He is the source. I don't want to be outwardly happy and inwardly sad. There will be griefs. Jesus was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, but I want to have that eternal blessedness, the promise of eternal life, to know that my sins have been forgiven for the sake of Christ. I want that heart. I want it all the time. Brethren, let us immerse ourselves in this beatitude along with the rest, and may we see God as a result. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for this beatitude. Help me. Help us all as we go from this place, O God, that this truth would be firmly implanted and intertwined into our hearts. Father, take it. Do surgery to us, Father. Change us. Transform us, O Lord, we ask you. Be glorified now, Father, with us as we go. We ask for your blessings for tomorrow as we go to help the folks in Lake Charles. Use us, Father, for your glory. Keep us safe. John as well. Lord, we want to give you all the praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.